We're still in 2019. We've barely gotten into it. So this year of opportunity is, in fact, a year of massive opportunity. And as I get deeper into the world of medicine, I see things. I see things good. I see things better. Now, some of the things we might consider bad, because there are some bad guys in this field. Now, a lot of this is perspective. You know, we wonder this. If you ever watch the Marvel movies, you know, the bad guy always was wronged in his life. You know, there's a reason that he became the Green Goblin. There's a reason. So even the bad often believe that they're good. So I try not to make judgments. But if somebody's making money at the expense of people, I consider it wrong. If somebody is doing things for themselves and people are getting hurt or injured or killed, I'd have to consider that bad. When I see owners of pharmaceutical companies overpricing medications for their own personal gain, I think it's bad. So I'm seeing a lot. I'm seeing a lot of things in our field, and I'm also seeing, I guess, what I might call the medical fringe, and it's an interesting place. Because what we know is when it comes to chronic disease and the issues that plague most people in our population, the medical field, I've used this word, is impotent. What the medical field encourages their army to do is find a diagnosis, find a code, and prescribe a drug. And over time, when the patient comes back, if the drug isn't working or isn't working as well, or there's a new symptom, prescribe another drug. And what we know is there is no medication that can cure any chronic disease. I love saying that in front of medical groups because nobody can argue it. And it's absurd. It's absurd because the entire world of medicine is built upon this paradigm of when somebody comes in with a diabetic issue or a blood pressure issue or a thyroid issue, you find the diagnosis and you medicate them. And they never stopped to think on an individual level that with all of the medications out there and all of the doctors doing all of this work, not one of them has any hope of curing the disease. There is not a single medication that can cure any chronic disease. We know that many chronic diseases can be reversed. People who have the disease in a moment may not have the disease down the road if they take the right actions. So we know it is possible to cure a chronic disease. And that's why I've said for a very long time, there is opportunity here. Now, I sat with a group of doctors recently. We were having a very casual conversation, and I wasn't on a soapbox, but I repeated that statement. You know, there is no drug that can cure chronic disease. And in a very relaxed way, they agreed that they prescribed the drug because it's what people want. And I took a little bit of issue with that. I go, well, people really want to be well. And they go, listen, man, you're not seeing patients every day. People come in and they want the drug. And then they gave me the example of all these people come in for pain medication. And in that case, it's true. You know, there's an addiction. They want the drug. So the doctor develops a set of lenses that allow them to say, I'm giving people what they want because they want the drug. I know I'm not curing them, but they're not coming to me for cure. They're coming to me because they want the drug, and that's what I'm giving them. And I've been thinking about that, that people want the drug. You guys remember ephedrine, right? Everybody remembers ephedrine. Gary, I know you do because you were involved with an ephedrine product, correct?
Yes.
Why did ephedrine become so popular? Well, it started in the bodybuilding community because there was a drug that was a little more risky, a little more dangerous, a little controlled. It was a controlled substance. It wasn't sold over the counter, called clenbuterol. And clenbuterol caught on with many of the bodybuilders because it was anti-catabolic. It blocked cortisol, which is great if you want to put on muscle, but it also cranked people up, and it seemed to help in fat loss. So clenbuterol became very popular, but it was really edgy and certainly dangerous. It was an asthma medication and controlled. And not only was it dangerous, it was illegal. So ephedrine had a similar mechanism. It's called a beta-adrenergic agonist. It acts at the beta site to cause changes in respiration and heart rate. So when people would take ephedrine, they would feel up. It was a stimulant. They would perform better in whatever they're doing. And it was promoted as something like clenbuterol in the bodybuilding community, but legal, because at the time it was legal. You could buy these 25 milligram ephedrine capsules. Or you can go into any health food store and buy the Chinese herb Ma Huang or the Chinese herb ephedra. And then some people put it together with caffeine and aspirin and started selling it as a weight loss product. And did it work to help people lose weight? Gary, did it? Yes. But it came with a little bit of a cost. It was addictive. And the weight loss wasn't permanent and lasting, and it wasn't a true improvement in metabolism. So a lot of people paid a price. Now, it came to a point that ephedrine became very popular, and there started an incident of a hospital visit became more frequent. I go, what did you take? I took ephedrine. There was a case of a football player in Dallas who took ephedrine and died. Turned out he took an insane number, I think like 200 ephedrine capsules. So in anything, there's abuse. And it's contraindicated for people with high blood pressure. Why am I telling you all of this? Because at some level, people want the drug. Like at some level, isn't it true? You look at how popular this became. Ephedrine is a drug. It was over the counter. It was legal, but it was a drug. Ephedrine hydrochloride. So for the first time ever, it registered with me when I was speaking to these friends, doctors, that I understand what they're saying. I believe that the doctor may have a higher responsibility than just give people what they want if they want the drug, but I do understand it. If I'm in a business every day and customers are coming in going, I want this, I want this, I want this, I want this, I guess sooner or later in the business I'd have to give it to them, especially if it's the paradigm. I'm not intentionally hurting anybody. I'm doing what I was trained to do. I'm working within my scope of practice. So really, people do want the drug. Now, after some people died from ephedrine, there were some political battles because a lot of money was being made in ephedrine sales, and eventually it got pulled from the shelves and they could no longer legally sell ephedrine or Ma Huang or ephedra in any nutritional supplement. Was it illegal? Nope. To this day, you could still go into any drugstore and you could buy ephedrine hydrochloride under the name of Primatene tablets. It's just that people don't know that. But if it made a comeback tomorrow, even with everybody knowing about the dangers, would they buy it? Yes. Why do I say that? Because there's a new compound that is exploding in popularity. Hygenamine. Has anybody heard of it? Hygenamine was used in China as an asthma medication. And not a medication to cure asthma, but a medication to help people get through an episode because it was a respiratory bronchodilator, very much like ephedrine, very much like clenbuterol. It's also used in China, and of course it does come from specific herbs, specific plants. It comes from bamboo, a number of different plants. But it's also used by doctors in China for stress tests. When they're doing a non-exercise stress test, they want to elevate the heart rate and see how the circulatory system responds. So they inject this compound into the bloodstream, and it elevates people's heart rate so they can see what happens to the circulatory system. So it is a drug, even though it is sold over the counter, and it hasn't been exposed enough for anybody to come down on it. So it's out there. Now, the reason that the Chinese doctors use it for this purpose is it has a very short half-life. So they could keep somebody in the doctor's office after they've gotten 5 milligrams of this drug until their heart rate comes back down and they're back in homeostasis. But it didn't take long for some people in the fitness community to uncover it. And, of course, the thinking is, oh, it's just like ephedrine. So it's going to do all these things. It's going to improve performance. It's going to burn fat. And what concerns me is this assertion that people only want the drug. So I'm anticipating this being the next wave, not a good wave. I believe that a new wave of products will come out with this ingredient. They'll give it different names, but hygenamine is the common name of the compound extracted from the herbs. It is being sold as a performance enhancer. It is being sold as a weight loss supplement. Now, I looked. There is zero research anywhere for weight loss. There is no published study anywhere using hygenamine for weight loss. But that doesn't stop the claim. So if you search it right now, you'll find, even on Amazon, you'll find people selling it as a weight loss product. Bodybuilding products are selling it as a fat loss product with no substantiation. They're just thinking, hey, man, this is just like ephedrine, just like clenbuterol. So we'll say it helps people lose weight. We don't know if it does. And remember what I just said about it having a short half-life. It doesn't stay active that long, so performance athletes aren't going to benefit. They're likely going to crash. But it just really, I've been walking around with this awareness since that conversation that, yeah, people want the drug. I don't think the doctors are bad, but I do think it's a point of contention. I do think it's important to address. Why do people want the drug? Because they're misinformed about what the drug will do. If they think the drug will cure their diabetes, of course they want the drug, but it won't cure their diabetes. If they think now with the drug they can drink and eat sugar, they're being misled. So it's no different than somebody being misled when a nutritional supplement comes out and says, this is going to burn fat. People want the drug because the drug companies are misleading people. And people want the supplement that acts like a drug or contains a drug because the supplement companies are misleading people. Now, there is and has long been a safety gap in nutritional supplementation because the law states something like, I don't have this exact, but something like federal regulations require that manufacturers understand the safety of ingredients as directed for use on a product label. Now, this has come up many times in court because when there are deaths, the question is, did the manufacturers know that the compound was likely to cause death or potentially have that effect? And if the manufacturers didn't know, then of course they just stopped selling the product, but there's no fine, there's no punishment. If the manufacturers knew, then it becomes a crime. So a whole bunch of naive manufacturers will now take this compound and put it in their supplements and say it's a weight loss product and say it's a fat loss product and say it's a performance product, even though they know nothing about it. And if they don't know, they're not really on the hook. Also, while we believe that nutritional supplement companies are supposed to list everything on the ingredient panel, there are gaping loopholes. And nutritional supplement companies are notorious for clustering things together. So, for example, they can put together hygenamine, green tea extract, guarana, and they can call it our energy blitz. And they can trademark it and say a proprietary blend. So the laws are loose enough that we don't even know what drugs are in many products. So there was recently a study conducted at Harvard Medical School. They looked at 24 nutritional supplements containing hygenamine, And some had, remember what I told you, in Chinese medicine, they will inject into the bloodstream 2.5 to 5 milligrams to elevate heart rate to put stress on the circulatory system. 2.5 to 5 milligrams. In this Harvard study, they found that some of these new sports performance or fat loss supplements contained 62.5 milligrams of hygienamine. That's 12 times the safe dosage. Now, there's no safety data at all on that level of dosage. It's never been put out there for people for us to examine whether or not it's safe. So it concerns me. I'm not telling you this specifically to look at hygienamine. I'm telling you this to look at how people are willing to take anything if they believe it will bring about a result. So much so that they go to the doctor and they challenge the doctor's expertise, telling the doctor what drug they want. It's what's happened in our society. So given the choice of the personal trainer and paying $125 a session three times a week or getting the drug, what do you think people will do? So we're at a major disadvantage in terms of public perception. This is why so many personal trainers opt for the market of the fit and near fit, because they're the ones who acknowledge they need help with exercise and eating. I'm telling you, the bigger segment of the population, they want the drug. This is why it becomes important for us to educate people, not just train people. This is what separates us from other personal trainers. We have to be able to explain, not specifics, I don't want you to go for a degree in pharmacology, but we have to be able to explain why the drug will not bring them what they want. Because ultimately, that's what people are shooting for. They want to feel better. They want to be cured. They want to be over this issue. And the drug will not do it ever. And the hygienamine will not burn fat. It's not stopping people from buying it. So we have a responsibility that the doctors do not really right now, and that is to help people understand. So here's the beauty of aligning with a doctor. When you get patients who come in for the drug and you're in a doctor's setting alongside a doctor, elbow to elbow, and you could say, let me tell you why the drug is not your answer. Now you get a mindset shift. Now the door has swung wide open. When you could help people understand why things aren't working for them, they'll suddenly open up to something different. The crazy thing is, very often, they've been taking the drug. How long have you been taking this drug? 7 years? Has it helped? No. That's the insanity. I'm out of my prescription. Run back to the pharmacy. So if we understand what I'm sharing with you as a true symptom of our society today, it gives us great opportunity. We need to stand alongside medicine and redefine what medicine is, because people think medicine is medicine that comes in a bottle. If you remember Asclepius, Panacea, and Hygieia, we are Hygieia. We are 50% of medicine. We give people the power to get themselves well. So if people want the drug, then we don't shy away from that market. We don't go, oh, no, they don't want us. They want the drug. We stand in front of that market and we say, let me tell you why the drug is not your answer. And I'm promising you this. There's nothing more powerful. Does it take courage on your part? Absolutely. Do you have to be an expert in every drug? No. You just need to be able to explain what I said, that the drug will not cure the disease because there is no drug that will cure any chronic disease. I gave you the example of hygienamine because I was able to speak at length because I've been researching it a little bit. But it's not limited to those fat loss ephedrine-type supplements. I was talking to J.P. Braun, who owns a very successful nutritional company, and he told me that one of the chemists that he works with designed a product that is sold. It's a male enhancement product that is sold in the gas stations and the convenience stores, and he made $17 million and continues to get a royalty every single year. Those products are really big sellers. There is one particular line called Rhino. Makes you bigger, stronger, harder, last longer, whatever terminology they could use to get a guy to go, okay, I've been drinking. I want to make sure tonight is okay. Rhino has made a ridiculous amount of money. Well, the FDA just put out a warning that consumers should not use this product. Rhino has 25 different labels. So sometimes in a convenience store, you'll see a whole bunch of them. They look like different products, but they're the same. Guess what it contains? Viagra. It's illegal. They're selling a drug over the counter, but until now, nobody checked. They're selling the drug. And people want the drug. And the reason that it was investigated is because there were a whole lot of reports over the years of people experiencing chest pain and headaches and a whole lot of stuff that I think the commercial says if your erection lasts more than 4 hours, see a doctor. Well, people were seeing doctors because they took this Rhino product. So obviously something wasn't right. So the owner of the company was arrested and facing major charges and fined millions of dollars. And will probably do more than 20 years in prison. He's 60 years old, so not very promising. But he banked on what I just said. People want the drug. He built his fortune by stepping over a line and believing he'd never get caught. And if he gets good enough attorneys, maybe he'll avoid jail time. But people want the drug. It's interesting because I argued with the doctors for years. You know, when they'd say that, I go, no, they're just, they see the TV commercial and they come in and they tell you they want the drug, but you have to educate them. And they go, no, man, I'm telling you, people come in and they want the drug. And I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see it. I still think the doctors need to intervene, as I'm suggesting we do. To me, this is opportunity. I mean, if I own a supplement store and we sell Snickers bars and somebody comes in and goes, I want a Snickers bar to lose weight. And then another person goes, I want a Snickers bar to lose weight. And then 100 people come in and they go, I want a Snickers bar to lose weight. At a certain point, do I go, the Snickers bar won't help you lose weight? Or do I just keep selling it because people are asking for it? That's the ethical question. So I understand both sides of that coin. And unlike the guy who created Rhino and unlike the people who are selling these ephedrine-like supplements, the doctors are doing what the medical field has taught them to do. No crime is being committed. But still in that, I see opportunity. And why am I telling you this? Because I've been doing this differently. I've been stronger in the last week since we had that discussion in talking to clients, patients, saying, let me tell you why this drug won't work. You know, I did a webinar last night, and I got a really nice response from it, but the way that I did the webinar is I said, let me explain why nothing will work for you if you have REMAS. But I started by going, here's why nothing works, and then they go, oh my gosh, you're right. So when I'm talking to somebody who's reliant on their thyroid medication, but they still haven't lost the weight and they still have brain fog, I will say to them, let me tell you why the medication won't fix that. And now you completely change their belief and suddenly they're wide open. So with everything I'm saying, do you guys have the, first of all, belief that what I'm saying is true? Let me start with that.
Yeah. Yes, Phil, I have that belief.
So the bigger question is, do you have the courage to step into that space and confront that issue? And I'm not talking about on a platform. I'm talking about on a case-by-case basis. I'm not asking you to put things down and tell them to stop taking their medication, but I am suggesting that in the case where it's true, you say to somebody, let me tell you why the medication you've been taking for 7 years will not suddenly start working. Do you have the courage, the confidence to do that?
I think there's a certain, you know, amount of education that you got to have about those products that you're going to be, you know, educating those people about in order to have that confidence.
Okay, so you're not there yet?
Well, you know, since I started this course, I kind of, you know, I've definitely elevated that. And I do talk to people about, you know, different drugs and try to say that, you know, that I do believe that it's not the cure for them, but like, let's take high blood pressure, for example. Take my case, you know.
Yeah.
Do I believe, can that be reversed? I don't know. You're saying high blood pressure medication is something they prescribe, right? But that obviously is not going to cure the reason I have the problem.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay, so somebody like me who works out, eats good, and this may be something that's just a genetic problem for me. I don't know, is that even true, or is that just something I heard? There's so much information that I'm not sure is real out there. I'm kind of confused on some of the issues.
Well, Gary, it may or may not be true, so let me address that. Blood pressure medication and heart medications, we have to be very careful with, because those can be life-threatening. So if somebody's blood pressure goes up to 200 over 140, we don't want to pull them into an exercise program. We need to lower their blood pressure. So don't misunderstand me. Drugs have their purpose. And whether it is a beta blocker or something that will relax the arterial walls, anything that will lower dangerous blood pressure is valuable. But as you said, it doesn't cure the condition. Now, there are times we see acute blood pressure elevation because of stress, because of allergy, because of reaction. There are times that people's blood pressure go up. More often, we're seeing what appears to be chronic, like in your case, where nothing seemed to cause it in the short term, but your blood pressure is 140 over 100 or whatever the number is. And you feel okay, you feel like you're at rest, maybe you get a little bit of a headache, but there's nothing that really prompted it. So the blood pressure medication can make you function normally and prevent you from moving into an unsafe condition. But in the meantime, it's nice to try to figure out what caused it and try to reverse it. Now, are there times that it is in fact something that we cannot reverse naturally? Sure. But here's what I know. There are some nutritional compounds that seem to work over time to reverse blood pressure elevation. We would have to look at CRP to see if it is directly related to inflammation. And if it is, we have to figure out what we can try to do to reverse inflammation of the arterial walls. There are times it is electrical in nature, and that's something that we have to leave to the cardiologist. But there are times that it is related to stress load overwhelming recovery. So when somebody who has a stress load higher than their recovery rate exercises and eats right, as we know, it might not fully bring the potential benefit because they've shifted into a morphed state. So in your case, the good news is the blood pressure medication makes you feel okay and you can function and you're fit and you work out and you eat right. So good. From a safety perspective, the medication is good for you. Now let me contrast that with somebody who goes to the doctor because they're overweight, they can't think straight, they're tired, they can barely function, getting out of bed to drive their kids to school is a chore. Let's talk about that person. Because that person is diagnosed with a thyroid issue. That person is prescribed a drug. Now, Gary on his blood pressure medication, he's going on with his day. He's going to the gym. There's nothing wrong on a regular basis. But this woman with the medication is feeling fatigued and irritable and moody and can't lose weight and has tried everything and doesn't feel like herself. And she starts to feel like a ghost and she says things like, I'm not in my own body. Why am I telling you this? Because I meet this woman every day. So that's the case where she needs to understand the drug is not going to save you from these things because you've been taking the drug. And the reason is your problem didn't start with a thyroid issue. Your problem started with the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the adrenals, and nobody's treating that. So we need to get you on a comprehensive protocol that's going to bring back your quality of life. So, Gary, do you see the difference? I'm not saying every case on every drug, but there's a big gap between you taking blood pressure medication and the scenario I just described. I'll give you another scenario that's common. It's the guy with the big pot belly who's on metformin. And he goes, yeah, I go on the weekends, I drink. I don't drink a lot, but, you know, every weekend I go out and have a couple of drinks. You know, Sundays I have a couple of beers. You know, I eat nachos, but I'm on the medication. Buddy, the medication is not curing your condition. So it's very different than taking a medication for heart or blood pressure. Do you understand and do you agree?
Yeah, definitely.
And that's why my avatar has become people with thyroid issues and blood sugar issues. Not only, but those are the ones where everyone I talk to, they have the same experience. And I haven't counted and I haven't really documented in any organized way. I wish I had the number of people who have gotten off their medications because they no longer have the conditions. So it starts from a position of being able to influence and say to somebody, let me tell you why the drug is not your answer. That doesn't mean don't take the drug. But remember what I told you at the beginning. People want the drug. I understand why the doctors say that. They want the drug. Why do they want these compounds that I just told you are now sold in nutritional supplements? Because they want better sexual performance, because they want to lose fat. So what if the drug doesn't give them what they want? And that's what we have to be able to communicate, that the drug that you're taking as a solution is not the solution. And if you keep taking it, it still won't be the solution. And if you take a higher dosage, it still won't be the solution. So if we think of what we offer as the other half of medicine, then these should be complementary. And eventually, if they don't have the condition, there's certainly no need for the drug. So Gary, if it really comes down to a confidence level and needing a little more education, then pursue that education. But I'm telling you, you don't have to be an expert in every drug. You just have to understand that if the problem starts with the adrenal system and the drug is aimed at the thyroid hormone, it can't reverse the condition. If your car is not running well because there's an engine problem and you change the tires, it might run a little better, but you haven't fixed the problem. Am I making sense, guys? Is this helpful? Because what I don't want is to intimidate you and make you feel like, oh, I don't have the confidence. I'm trying to do the opposite here because I want you to see the opportunity. And what I'm sensing is that it creates this little apprehension. You're like, oh, my God, I'm going to have to know everything about the drugs. No, you're not. You're just going to have to be able to present why what they're experiencing is what they're going to experience, why they've been on a medication for 6 years and they haven't gotten better. Like, what will change?
Well, really, Phil, doesn't it comes down to this. When you have a client that is taking a drug for a chronic disease and you present your part of the plan, which is, you know, obviously stress management, eating properly, and exercising, you basically have to present it in a way where this could, you know, help you get off the drug. Because you know what, if it comes down to, you know, my doctor has me on a drug and the trainer says you don't need the drug.
I'm never saying you don't need the drug. Be careful with that.
Right. It would be irresponsible to say that. But to say that if you follow this plan, it's a possibility that you definitely improve your health. but it's also a possibility that you can eliminate the need for the drug.
Correct.
Because I've done it with people, so I know that that is true. Not with everybody, but with certain people that has happened. So I do know it's true.
Yes. And by the way, I'm not talking about talking to clients. They're already sold. I'm talking about getting clients. So I'm just sharing this because I've been taking a very bold stance in this regard, and people are so responsive because nobody ever spoke to them this way. It's not mean. It's just blunt. Anyone else, as you're listening, have any thoughts on this? People do want the drug, but they want the drug because they're misinformed. You know, I've said for so long, the doctors are responsible, and the doctors go, no, no, people just want the drug. But I was saying at the beginning of the call, for you came on late, I went to sit with a few doctors, and they convinced me, yeah, people do want the drug, but I understand it better. It doesn't mean it's right. It means it's an opportunity for the drug companies, and the doctors are the drug dealers. That's really what it is, but it's legal. Anyone else, as you're listening, any thoughts on this? Anyone other than Gary? Should I change the subject because there's no interest?
No, I feel comfortable with it. Totally.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with it, Phil.
I am too, Phil.
Okay, good. Now, there's also a growing fringe. In my business model now, what we sell initially is a program. More often than not, it's a 21-day metabolic reboot. It's an easy sale. And it's also a program where at the end of 21 days, they're going to see change. They're going to see if we do labs, they're going to see a reduction in CRP. They're going to see a radical change in their symptoms checklist. They're absolutely going to see weight loss if that's a goal. They're going to see changes in strength. So that's usually the first sale. And depending on how it's structured, it could be an $800 sale. And you guys are able to do that. So when you meet with somebody and they're struggling to lose fat, they have weight loss resistance, maybe they have a thyroid issue, maybe they're on medication for blood sugar, it's a really good first step. I'm not saying you have to, but it's an $800 sale, and you're training them, seeing them several times within the 21 days, so you're building rapport. And then the closing consultation, the outtake, is an opportunity to then get them on a series. Now, because I work with doctors, we've started incorporating in the initial package some IVs. In most cases, we use something that we call a lipotropic IV. It's nothing unsafe. It's really just a compilation of nutritional compounds that would aid in metabolic fat loss as an adjunct to the nutrition and the exercise. And we also typically have them do some infusions of glutathione. There are times that the doctor will suggest what's called a Myers cocktail or a vitamin C drip. And there are times the doctor will suggest a B12 shot. Now, most of these things are relatively innocuous. They're not potentially dangerous. And there's certainly virtue to them. But we don't make any claims. They're just part of the program. So like anything else, they contribute to the outcome. And if we only have 21 days, we want to show them the maximum outcome within 21 days. Glutathione is the master antioxidant. And it is a cellular antioxidant, and it is constantly battling free radicals. It is also vitally important in immune strength and maintaining immune intelligence rather than the immune system getting corrupted. So in a society where so many people are struggling with chronic issues, glutathione, I think, is extremely valuable. When I was struggling with chemical sensitivity, glutathione helped me tremendously. And still, when I go on long trips or when I'm changing time zones, I do a glutathione infusion before I go. I can't say I feel different, but I will tell you that if I don't do it, I may come back with a cold. Like, I'll notice it. Every time I come back with a cold, I go, oh, man, I didn't do the glutathione. So I'm a proponent of it. But I can't make a claim. I can't say it's going to cure a disease. But there's virtue in it, and I understand it, and I'm sharing with people my experience. So there's nothing unethical. And in a sense, we're preparing them to best fight free radicals. When we finish the 21 days, there's now what we might call step two. Meaning that if we think of this purely as a business, we now have a customer. We can say to the customer, you're finished, never come back. That's one option. But from a business perspective, it's not a good option. The better option is to make the customer a fan, be sure the customer is thrilled, and then have the customer continue to come back. Now, at this point, I'm not doing ongoing personal training sessions. And we are building out an additional studio at one of the facilities, and then I'll hire a couple of trainers. So the next step, the step two, would be continuing on with a training program, a series. So that's an option for you guys as a step two. For me, the step two is usually a continuous program of IVs. There are some people who will actually go into hormonal replacement, ethically, given the right circumstances. So there is absolute opportunity in IVs. And you can buy a bag of a Myers cocktail for $18 or $19 and charge somebody $75. So there's profitability there too. So I know this isn't the personal trainer model, and I'm not telling you guys to do this, but from a business perspective, realize that there's a reach a funnel. We bring them in through the funnel, and then there's the spillover. How do we keep the customer and keep the customer happy? And I'm still learning this, so I'm very conservative in the way we do this. I'm not telling you have to go to IVs. For you, it's just putting them on a personal training series. But I also want to point out that as with anything that is opportune, there are many people, organizations, companies who are doing this IV thing unethically. There are so many doctors' offices that have been shut down because they're just giving everybody IVs. In one case that I found, there was a doctor in Kansas who hired a staff. The staff had no medical training. They taught the staff to administer the IVs. And one of the things they were giving is a mineral complex, including magnesium. Now, if you throw somebody's magnesium off, we may never see them again in this world. They may go to the other world. So, I mean, it's really bad. And then there's a company that she sells, in a sense, a franchise or a license of IV bars that you can put in other businesses, where people come and they sit and they read and they watch TV and they're getting their IVs. And this is presented as a cure for colds and hangovers and jet lag. And they're making a ton of money. But they've been shut down because there was no record keeping. There was no diagnosis. Just people walking in off the street and sticking a needle in their arm. So it's really important that you align with the right doctor because these are medical treatments. So I really take pride in the way that I've navigated my career in being just never outside of my scope of practice, but tiptoeing around the edge. I feel like there's so much room within our scope of practice, but I'm also telling you to be careful. Because now that this is big business, business people are opening IV centers, and this is not something that you want to be connected with. So it's not the IV itself that is appealing. It's the relationship with the doctor who gives you additional revenue streams. This is the big opportunity, I think, in 2019 for us. This is why I think it's so valuable to align with a medical professional, because it gives you the ability to speak to an audience who was going for medication. They didn't realize the medication is not the answer until you pointed out. And you are aligned with the doctor who's prescribing the medication. So the believe me, Dr. DeLuca puts people on thyroid medication. But he never disagrees with me. He says, hey, we're going to try everything that we can to try to get you to a place where you're as well as you can be. So the first thing we did was, as we do in conventional medicine, we stabilize your thyroid hormones. Now we want to make you better. I'm good with that. That's different than saying the drug will cure your disease. That's different than saying the drug is the answer. So it is the relationship with the doctor that is valuable. What I'd like to get to is the third step up, which is stem cell treatment. And again, only ethically in cases where it's truly needed and valuable. And there is a lot of profit there. But now what I'm seeing is a lot of stem cell abuse. I see people offering stem cells that is not really allowed in this country. I see them lying. There was a sting, I don't know if it was on Dateline or 2020, where a guy was actually selling stem cells, like meeting people in a park, and they were giving him thousands of dollars. He was giving them bags of what he called stem cells. So when something finds its way into popularity, there are the criminals. Now there are products that are coming out, and they have names that sound like placenta, because there are stem cells that get embryonic stem cells that come from a placenta. So now there are oral products coming out going, stem cell, yeah, take this. It'll make you young again. It's bullshit, but people want the drug. So what I see is immense demand. But there's a narrow pathway of what is right and what is ethical. And we are perfectly positioned to navigate that pathway. Just as there are embryo supplements, placenta supplements, there are HCG supplements, there are HGH supplements, they're all bullshit, every single one of them. But people are buying them. And when we have the ability to deliver the fitness services that we are experts in, the nutritional guidance that we've come to realize will help people, and now the medical guidance in conjunction with a true medical professional that can get people well, then we can reverse disease. So I'm telling you guys, if you're buying what I'm putting out here, we will move toward this. Troy, you sent out your letters. You didn't get a response yet, but you're anticipating next week there will be some follow-up, right?
Yeah, I didn't send them out until late this week, so I really wasn't expecting a response until next week.
Okay. And these are cold introductions. These doctors don't know you. You're just a guy offering lunch.
Exactly.
Okay. And by the way, if a receptionist gets on the phone and goes, "Ah, we got your letter. Thank you so much. We don't do that anymore. Thank you," then I think where you go is, well, I would like to take the doctor to lunch. I just feel like what we do can be complimentary. I don't know the doctor, honestly, but I would love to do talks together, to refer clients to you, to help with some of your difficult patients. So if you guys won't have me in the office, I'd like to take the doctor to lunch. So don't just take a hand going up at you as a no. Just realize there's maybe an obstacle you have to overcome, but I would pursue it.
Yeah, I do have a question, though, is because they can't take kickbacks, how are you partnering with them? You know, as far as how the payment's done?
There is no ever a kickback, never. That's opening one of those doors that in the examples I just gave you, people do stupid things and they take it for granted
right,
that they'll never get caught.
I don't want to do that.
So what I have in my facilities is I have an entity, we set up a separate entity, where I am in partnership with the doctor. So either we collect money for that entity and I get paid X number of dollars for every consultation, so I'm getting paid out of that entity, and we share the remaining, whatever is left, so we share the profit.
Okay.
When we do things like IVs, those IVs get billed through that entity, and we share the profit, so the cost is taken out. So my time is, in a sense, a payroll cost or a contractor cost. So it's not a kickback. It's a partnership where you're sharing the profit. Does that make sense?
Somewhat, yes.
I want it to make perfect sense. So let's just say that you have a friend who's a doctor, and you say, hey, you want to go partners on a comic book store? And he goes, yeah. And now you open this comic book store, and at the end of the month is $100 profit. You take 50, he takes 50. Nothing wrong with that relationship, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Let's say that you form this partnership with the doctor, and both of you work in the comic book store 40 hours a week. So you say, I'm going to get paid $1,000 a month. You're going to get paid $1,000 a month, and then we're going to share the profit. There's nothing wrong with that, right? Let's say the doctor doesn't want to work in the comic book store. So now you're still partners, but you're working 40 hours a week. He's not.
Right.
So you're taking your $1,000 a month. Whatever's left is the profit that you share, because there's a cost to your time.
Sure. So I'm setting up another business. Is that what
I'm doing? LLC, yep.
That was my main question.
Yeah, and if you talk to your accountant, your LLC just gets billed as you. I mean, it's not going to really complicate things, but it makes it simpler in forming that relationship with the doctor. Now, in one of the doctor's relationships that I have, everything gets billed through his main office, but funds get allocated to the LLC. Now, it's just a little more complicated, but it prevents us from having to do billing from two different accounts.
That makes sense. Yep, that's what I got it.
Yeah, and it's really nice because it's almost like your Ascension account. You can watch it grow. There's a separate business that is not my main business, not his main business. So we have a separate account, and we can look at it grow. So, you know, if we do a seminar and we suddenly get 12 new people coming in, we see that account go up, and it feels good. And there's not a whole lot of expense attached to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I got it. Good.
Anyone else? Any questions on this? All right. Is Tony Aviles in the house? Tony Brooks Aviles. All right. What I want to talk about next, I really want to wait for Tony to speak as a group think, but I'm going to put it out there. I don't know what year it was, but many years ago, I was involved in some infomercials, and it wasn't my niche. I got into major legal battles with the infomercial companies because they wanted me to do things that I felt were unethical, and a lot of money moved around, and it just wasn't, for me, a pleasant experience. And there were many times I think many people would have said I'm foolish. They would go, Phil, just do what they're asking you to do, and you'll make a million and 10 million and 20 million. Maybe I would have. But it just didn't feel right. It felt dirty to me. So during that time, there was one company that I worked with, and they did a lot of market research. And it's actually Time Warner, Fitness Quest, which is a division of Time Warner. And they found that the word that is most magnetic for weight loss and getting people to respond is the word slim. And there's a reason Slim Fast went with that name instead of Skinny Fast. So people respond to the word slim. And we did this infomercial that I think was so crazy, stupid, hokey. It was my program, but the way they spun this infomercial was absurd. So this was one of the debates that I'd had, because this was after I'd been through a lawsuit, and this company understood what I wasn't going to do, but they were spending a good amount of money, and they had this idea that my catchphrase is going to be eat up, speed up, slim down, meaning eat all you want, speed your metabolism, and slim down. And I said, you guys are taking things totally out of context. It's not eat everything in sight. I'm just telling people don't diet. You got to eat a good amount of food. They go, yeah, yeah, but this is just the marketing. Eat up, speed up, slim down. So it was really a lot of pressure because I wasn't comfortable with it, but I also didn't want to be like the pain in the ass prima donna who never does anything they ask because I'd been through that before. So we formed a compromise. I said I would never speak it. They could use it in the show, but I wasn't going to say it because they wanted to show me, you know, showing standing up in front of audiences going, eat up, speed up, slim down, and they go, yay. I'm never going to do that. So the concept was really cool, and maybe one day I'll find the old video because it was an entertaining infomercial. But we went to a food court, and it was all actors, but they probably had 400 actors, you know, at this food court. And everyone in the food court at a certain point turns around and goes, eat up, speed up, slim down, and they cheer. And then we went to a buffet at Shula's. I had a contract at Shula's, and Shula's had a hotel, a health club, and a restaurant. And in the restaurant, same thing, we had people at the buffet, and they go, eat up, speed up, slim down. And it was very silly, really. It was so uncomfortable for me. But the word slim is the word, slim down. Tony started the Staten Island Slim Down. Now, I want to ask him, is that coincidence or did he hear me share that story? But, man, I have such awe for what Tony has built there on Staten Island. And he's in it now. And it appears, just from what I've seen on Facebook, that he's getting a great turnout. People showing up. They're taking his classes. And it's a great hook. Now, I wish Tony were here, and I know he's going to hear the recording. But one of the things that Tony has not done is maximize the opportunity. And a part of that is his humility. He never wanted to make it appear to be a selfish venture. So he doesn't really promote. And if you saw, you know, maybe it was last year or the year before, we created a rate sheet, and he put that rate sheet out, but really reluctantly. And I think he sent an email today, like he's trying to do this, but he still just doesn't feel comfortable promoting himself because he feels like this is a free event and he wants the people to benefit, and somehow it appears too corrupt if he's selling. Now, I strongly disagree with his sense that there's anything corrupt. He's done this for 9 years and never asked anything. So for him to be able to stand up there and go, hey, guys, now those of you who want additional guidance, I'm a personal trainer. It's what I do for a living. I got a great facility. You're welcome to come there. If you want to schedule a consultation with me, it's $150. But he never felt comfortable doing that. But I was going to ask him today, and I'm just putting this out there, what if we play off of that and just from a conceptual standpoint create the National Slim Down? And we could leverage what Tony has done. We could incorporate my 21-day metabolic reboot. But we've been talking about Troy finding a campaign and Tammy finding a funnel that leads people to her website to get her to identify her true position. What if we created a collective reach, just called the National Slim Down? Maybe that's not the name, but something using those words. And we marketed it to our audience and on Facebook, getting people to show up at a page and going, yes, I'm interested. And maybe they get an ebook, or maybe they get the 21-day reboot. But somehow it brings them into something like my Alive Across America group or something similar, a member group, where all of us collectively are present. So they can choose their coach, or if it's somebody in your area, but it's a sense that we are a group who are connected to something bigger and not gigantic because it's something elite. Gary is the only trainer in New York who is the trainer for the Slim Down. So everybody would kind of have that prestige. So I'm putting it out there now just as a thought. If Tony goes, no, that's my baby, I don't want to, no, call it something else, I'll respect that. But I'm just thinking, as we're stepping into a realm that makes us different than other personal trainers, and as we recognize that with everything, weight loss is still the biggest plague, and as I'm realizing that weight loss resistance is the untackled disease, I think it might be a way that we can all unify and refine a campaign together. Anybody have thoughts?
I like it.
Go ahead, Gary.
No, I like it. It sounds like something more powerful than just doing it by yourself. You know, but yeah, I think there's more power in it, more appeal.
Yeah. Troy,
I was just talking with Tasso last week about some kind of thing like that, where we could have not necessarily a competition, but something that would coordinate Battle Creek verse or collectively with Daytona, you know, something like. I mean, we were just kind of, you know, hashing it out, kind of trying to come up with some ideas. So it's kind of along that same line, but on a smaller scale. So I would love it.
Yeah, I think we could do it on a grand scale. Really,
yeah.
Nationally, if we can blow it up on social media, and then if somebody lives in Utah, we don't have a trainer there, then they could retain you as a coach through Skype. You know what I mean? Like, they could look, and they go, oh, Troy seems like he's a guy for me, and they make a $75 30-minute consultation appointment. So we just send a very consistent message, and we build a massive group, like my Alive group, but just massive. And we stay connected through the reboot type program, meaning that we're all connected by the same language. You know, we're talking about circadian nutrition, so they're getting consistent advice regardless of who they see. And we can address controversial things within the group, but it's all part of the National Slim Down.
Yeah, and I like it because it's bigger than just Battle Creek. That's what I was going for with, you know, the Daytona connection. So
yeah.
I like that idea.
Good. Tammy?
Yeah, I love that idea.
Okay, good. So I don't want to go any further with it because I want Tony's blessing. And if he doesn't give it, that's fine too. And I want you guys to think about what I said. Listen back to the call if you want. And on an individual basis, when you're ready to pursue the medical relationship, I'm happy to help you any way I can. So if you at times, I'm not going to form the doctor relationship with you. You have to do that. But once you've got that, I'd be happy to speak to the doctors, to share the inner workings of how I do things so you can imitate it. Because I'm telling you, man, this is more lucrative than any personal training business. It's farther reaching than any gym business because we're really tapping into the greatest need in the nation. And when everybody's trying to figure out how to manage healthcare, that's what we're doing. So we're not giving them financial solutions, but we're giving them power over their own health. You guys might want to watch my webinar from last night. There's nothing in there you'll learn that you don't already know, but you'll see the way I positioned it by starting out by going, here's why nothing worked. And then everybody's going, oh my God, yes, that's me. Chronic stress, yes, that's me. You know, I kind of went through, here's what happens, here's how it builds, and then I turned it around. I go, now let me show you why my programs work. So that's the approach I'm taking in speaking to patients who are on medications. It's the same thing. Let me explain why the medication is not your answer. Doesn't mean don't take it. You can take it and it can play a role in your healing. But it's not the answer, and let me explain why. So if you guys want to see that, I think I put the link in the Alive Facebook group. If I haven't, I will. Okay, any thoughts, comments, questions about anything at all?
The Alive Facebook group? Am I a part of that? I don't even know.
Alive Across America. Do you just go into Facebook and search Alive Across America and just request to join?
Okay.
All right. In all likelihood, I'll reject you, but you never know. You might catch me in a good mood.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Anything else? All right, guys. Build your Ascension account. Let's keep growing. Be better, and we'll talk on our next call. Bye, everyone.